So the reading is from Psalm 49, verses 1 to 12. Hear this, all you peoples, listen, all who live in this world, both low and high, rich and poor alike. My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The meditation of my heart will give you understanding. I will turn my ear to a proverb. With the harp I will expound my riddle. Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches? No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough. So that they should live on forever and not see decay. For all can see that the wise die, that the foolish and the senseless also perish, leaving their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. People, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish. This is the word of the Lord.
And our second reading is going to be from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. And Pauline is going to read that for us. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21.
This is the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We now pray for Ian as he comes to talk this morning. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that you inspire Ian by your Holy Spirit and open our ears to hear what you're laying on our hearts through him this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Helen. This week, I was reading a sermon by a University College chaplain, which brought me up short. She said this: "The Church of England is dying. Ask pretty much anyone and apply pretty much any metric, the diagnosis is the same. It's more lingering illness than cardiac arrest, and the medicine of the gospel and the life-giving power of the Holy Ghost may yet yank it back from the brink. Who knows? But the vital signs are far from stable." She said, at a seminar recently, a load of beleaguered vicars were asked this: "Imagine that your church was going to close forever in 5 years' time, and that nothing could prevent it. What would you do in those 5 years?" And suddenly the room was on fire. "Oh, we'd give away our money to the poor. We'd pour everything into a soup kitchen and a food and clothing bank. We'd turn over the building to the community. We teach everyone to pray." In other words, they'd be the church, if only worries about money and buildings and compliance didn't hold them back. But with the promise of certain death, They came alive. They found the freedom to follow the way of Jesus. That's what she said. Shocking, I know, but very thought-provoking. Hear this, all you peoples, says Psalm 49. Wise men die, the foolish and the senseless also perish and leave their wealth to others. Man, despite his riches, does not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. In the crowd, someone wanted Jesus to sort out their family squabble and to get him his fair share of his parents' legacy, the inherited wealth. The chap was obviously focused on money, wealth, possessions, called mammon in the Bible. And Jesus, well, first of all, he says, no, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm not going to do that. That's not my job. But Jesus turns to the crowd and teaches them. He warns them. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And then, as Pauline read, he told the story of the rich fool. On the face of it, the man does what any farmer would do. He plans ahead, building adequate storage for his bumper crops. If you remember in the Old Testament in Egypt, that's exactly what Joseph did as Pharaoh's manager, and he was commended for his wisdom. But this man's attitude is the problem. And that's the point of the parable, really. He is greedy for more. He is self-centered, and he doesn't thank God or depend on God at all. And so, because of his greedy attitude, his life is demanded from him by God. And Jesus concludes, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Mark Twain famously said, it ain't the parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me, it's the parts that I do understand. Because Jesus couldn't be clearer, could he? Money, wealth, possessions, well, they may not be bad in themselves, they're given to us by God, but they so easily become a snare, a temptation, and we focus on them rather than God. We become greedy consumers, wanting more. In a way, our society is geared towards that, isn't it? Jesus says, watch out. I think one example of this is climate change. We've just experienced an extreme heat wave, haven't we? On Thursday this week, there's a programme on BBC Two called Big Oil versus the World. And it describes how the oil companies have aggressively promoted, well, for one thing, shale gas extraction and other fossil fuel strategies for the last 20 years and more, even while the evidence grew and mounted that we were damaging the planet. And we go along with this stuff because we want our cheap energy. We want our cars and our transport, don't we? But God has given us responsibility for the earth. He's given us stewardship of the planet. And it's not looking good for the future. Too much water in winter, too little water in summer. Harvests failing, people dying, floods sweeping through and carrying people away. Jesus concludes, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. New Wine this week had some excellent teaching, prophetic messages. Three take-home messages for me were these. Number one, COVID has been really tough, perhaps tougher than we realised. And what happens under challenge and pressure, the speaker said, is we tend to retreat into ourselves. We tend to look after our own personal concerns. We tend to give up on being outward-looking and generous and kind. I don't know, maybe you've noticed that in everyday life. So push back. Recover your generous kindness. Second thing, after the trauma of the pandemic, we are exhausted. And one of the things we've lost is our joy. One memorable session, the speaker suggested 8 ways for recovering joy in our lives. Almost playtime, if you like. And many people actually found it inspirational. He made us note them all down, actually, and give them a go. You know, try them. Find ways to be joyful again. And then thirdly, someone said this, and it really struck me, that when you begin working in a church, people start caring more about the organisation than about the anointing. Andrew Waters was saying that last Sunday, actually. I listened on our website to the sermon. He was saying we need to keep the focus on Jesus, not on how to maintain the church. And that's actually why we've decided to simplify church over the summer. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. So our readings today are about mammon, money, wealth, possessions. And Jesus warned the crowd, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. It struck me, it's very tempting, isn't it, to think, oh, well, I'm not one of those wealthy people. To be honest, in the context of the whole world, we are all wealthy, even those of us who are, if you like, at the bottom of the British tree. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. The key thing is our attitude. Follow Jesus. Keep your focus on God. Seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be yours as well. But if you allow greed for riches to take center stage, then be warned, like the rich fool, you are likely to lose everything. So, God versus mammon. Who takes first place? I'm going to read again Helen's collect for the day, because I think it's a good one. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy keep us in the same, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with us in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Ian. We just reflect on that for a moment. Heavenly Father, we're aware that you have poured abundant blessing into our lives in order for us to bless others around us. So we ask that you bring to mind for each one of us individually how you want to work that out through us in our lives each day. So we'll continue in our time of prayer and worship with a song, I Will Offer Up My Life. It's number 56. I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. You'll stand to sing, please.
giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, there defeated my sin, opened up the gates of heaven and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Saviour, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? All my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
Sit, please, and we're going to affirm our faith now.